It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Each week I do my very best to bring on incredible people who truly give back and help others. And today I'm truly humbled and honored to have Chris and Laura D'Amico from Mount Arlington, who started the Kindness for Christopher movement following the tragic death of their son, their 10-year-old son, in 2015 in a boating accident. What I've learned, what they have done since such a horrific accident and painful time in their lives, I was just blown away. And I did some research, and I just saw what wonderful, beautiful people they are. And I realized, despite such utter despair and unspeakable loss and adversity, they were really there to help others and bring the community together. And in preparing for the show, I know it's going to be very powerful, emotional, but also very uplifting. And I was also thinking, how do people do this? How do they get the strength to despite such adversity, despite the heartache? And Laura and Chris really exemplify courage, strength, resiliency, and the human spirit. And it's just really a humbling experience. I met them shortly before the show. They're wearing their wonderful shirts, Be One of a Kind, and also obviously to honor their late son, just this wonderful idea of Kindness for Christopher. Good morning, Chris and Laura.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us today. I also have Ellen, my producer extraordinaire, in the room as well.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. I wondered if I can, Chris and Laura, can you just tell us a little bit about yourselves, you know, where you're from and what do you do?
I'm from Mount Arlington, New Jersey. I grew up in Nutley, New Jersey. And right now I work at Novartis Pharmaceuticals for 24 years in the regulatory department.
Okay. And Chris?
I grew up in West Orange, New Jersey. I live in Mount Arlington. I cohabitate with Laura. I am a musician. I've been a musician for over 20-plus years, and that's what I do for a profession.
Yeah, Chris, I understand we were talking before we started. You also have, a company. You do various events, and you're being a musician.
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted, if we can, just for the listeners, to if you can, talk about a little bit about your late son, Christopher. I never had the privilege of meeting him, but, you know, obviously I've been preparing for a few weeks knowing how important the show was, and I saw what a beautiful smile he had, and I just never had the privilege of meeting him. Could you just talk a little bit about Christopher and the things he loved to do, and just a little bit more so the listeners really get a sense of him?
Well, the way that we describe him is he was just a one-of-a-kind kid, and that's why we always say be one-of-a-kind. He was the type of kid that he was a hugger. He always knew when he needed a hug, and he hugged you all the time, and he was friends with everyone, and he'd hold the door open for you, or he'd just do good things, always.
You know, it's one thing when you think your child is a kind kid. It's another when strangers tell you. He was a football player. He was a dancer. He was a character. In some ways, he shared the best qualities of my wife and myself. The entertainment factor of me and the warmth of his mom, the warmth and kindness of his mom. He had the best way of dog whispering. There wasn't a dog that didn't like that kid. And he just always just seemed to knew how to make you smile. And that's really a testament of who he was. And that's how this movement really got started, because basically it was based upon him and how kind he was to people.
Yeah, and like you said, I never had the privilege, but I could see by his smile he must have really lit up the room. I'm also, just so the listeners understand, I did get hugs even before we started the show, both from Laura and
Chris. I got a hug on the way in.
And Chris especially gives you a very good, strong hug. He's a solid,
strong guy,
no question about it. Strong in many ways. And that's what I wanted to touch on next, guys. You know, I really, once again, you know, I was just floored by your strength and resiliency. You know, we live in a world that, unfortunately, some horrible things can happen, and you never know how you're going to respond. If you could just share with us, I understand within a month you started this Kindness for Christopher movement, and I just like, how do you go on and live? How do you leave your house? I mean, after such a heartache. Laura, I mean, and Chris, could you just share with us, I mean, how you had the courage and strength to kind of get up and continue as best you can to live following such a horrible thing?
For me, basically, I felt that the Christopher's friends and our family and other friends, they were around to help us, and they were around to hold us up. And, you know, no one knows what to do or where to go or what to say or how to say it.
There's no playbook.
There's no playbook. And we were just like, we just did what made us feel good or made us feel right.
Everything that happened after Chris's passing, it was organic. Nothing was forced. It was... We're just going to keep pushing forward, and wherever it led us, it led us. And it led us to this movement a month after. It was really based upon keeping his legacy alive. You got to understand, he was 10 years old, and we live in a very small town. It's one of those towns where if you don't know what you're doing, somebody else usually does. So we all knew each other. All the kids knew each other. This was something that rocked a very small community. So more for the kids, this movement got started because we didn't want them to forget their friend. This was a way for us to process our grief. So what better way? Because we knew the 24th was going to come every month. So... instead of making it somber or sad or here it is, the 24th again, we decided we were going to do something on a more positive note, which was Chris was a very kind kid. How about on the 24th of every month, instead of, you know, being sad about it, we just do one random act of kindness in the name of Christopher so you guys remember who he is. And it was supposed to be grassroots, local to Mount Arlington in Roxbury. And we didn't think it would spin into a, you know, from a local movement to a statewide movement to a countrywide movement to a global movement in a matter of a year. And it was, again, created based upon Chris being a very kind soul and keeping his friends in the loop and remembering who he was.
Well, obviously that's, I'm sorry, Laura.
No, and people wanted to do things, and no one knew what to do. So doing something on the 24th, just a random act of kindness, was easy for people to do, and it didn't cost money.
Didn't have to cost
money. No, it didn't have to, and kids did it, kids felt good doing it, and it was just a fun thing for them to remember their friend and celebrate his life.
Since I'm older now, and I've unfortunately had to have gone through some bad situations, people really don't know how to reach out. They're scared if they bring it up, they're going to upset you. If they don't bring it up, they're going to upset you. Like, there really is no roadmap to it. And people are different. So even the people you're dealing with in any situation, and having something like this, giving them a way to connect with you and communicate with you around something, I absolutely think helped everybody.
Absolutely.
Because they wanted to be there for you.
They do.
And no one wants to know how to make that touch point.
And this is an easy thing for everyone.
Well, this is, you know, to get all spiritual, but this is energy. And it's good energy. You know, I guess it's called good juju. You know, it's good energy. And what happens is one good thing leads to another. It's an old adage, but it's the truth. One person does something for somebody else, in turn does something for somebody else. And it just starts with one random act, you know. And we've seen that in action over the last 4.5 years. It's been some of the most amazing stuff that we've ever seen. People just don't stop and pay attention to it enough. We live it now. So once you once you live in and once you break the window, you know, and you see the bigger picture, you'll never go back.
Right. So I understand. And obviously, like I said, I want to be as prepared as possible to honor your late son and make sure we do our very best to capture the true essence of Christopher and what you guys stand for, which is really beautiful to help so many over the last 4+ years. Do you remember the first time you did this act of random kindness for a stranger, Laura?
Yes, I do. We actually, every year as a family, we go down to Wildwood, and our family rents about 15 hotel rooms. And Christopher passed away in June, and we were supposed to go in July, and we had to go because that was Christopher's favorite place to go. So when we were down there, we were just thinking about, you know, hey, let's just pay for someone's breakfast, or let's just do something in honor of Christopher. And we were just waiting for the right opportunity. We didn't want it to be forced. We just wanted it to be organic and something, you know, to sneak and do something cool for someone without them knowing. So we were just, my daughter and I went to a Carvel down the shore, and we were looking to pay for someone's, Cookie Puss cake or something, and, you know, Fudgy the Whale. And we were just standing around waiting for the right moment, and it just wasn't there. So we just were like, okay, let's just go home. Drove home, went to the local pizza place, and we're sitting there and waiting for the right moment. And a woman walked in, and she was flustered, and you could tell she had a really hard day, and she had a son. He must have been about Christopher's age. And I said to my daughter, I gave her the nod, and I was like, this is it. This is the one. So my daughter went up with money and told the guy behind the counter, pay for their dinner. And that was it. Just tell them it was paid for. Don't tell them who. Don't tell them anything. And what's weird is, I don't know how word of mouth is, small town. She contacted us on our Facebook page, Kindness for Christopher D. And she says, I was that woman. And you're right. I was having a bad day. And I read your story, and you made a difference. And I appreciate it. And thank you. And from that, it just made us feel really good that we were honoring Christopher and we were helping someone else out that was having a bad day. And that's just, it was the right thing to do.
It was the first of many situations like that where somebody reached out to us on the page to let us know something that we might have done a week before. Or we went to Applebee's one night for dinner. And we were sitting there, and it was a typical night at Applebee's. We had a waitress who was flustered and doing what she was doing and waiting on us. And it's a typical night. We had our dinner, and at the end of dinner, the check came. And when we opened the check, it said, on us, kindness for Christopher. And we were blown away. And she said, listen, I recognize you. And what you're doing is a very noble thing. And, yeah, the dinner's on us over here at Applebee's tonight. And it's spread. And that's the beauty of this thing, is we still don't know how far this thing has gone and carried. There are things that we find out second, third hand. That's, you know, one of the things that I try to teach kids. We speak at schools, and what I try to teach kids in the schools is about the ripple effect, how you can make a splash. And everybody loves the splashes because splashes are cool. But what most people don't see is the ripples. And the ripples go on and on and on. Christopher, you want to talk about the kind of kid he was. For his 7th birthday, he didn't want presents. He said to my wife and I want dog and cat food. We didn't even own a pet. So I said, what do you want dog and cat food for? He says, well, I want to donate it to a local shelter. Now, this is all on him. We never said anything about it. This is who he was. Of course, everybody obliged. And, of course, they bought him presents anyway. But we had 2 truckloads of dog and cat food. And we brought it to the local shelter. Now, you figure that's where the story ends, because that's how most people think. Well, we delivered the thing, and it was very nice for Chris to do that. But here's what we didn't say, I'm sure. All these dogs and cats that are sitting in the shelter that would might have been put down because they didn't have food to feed them all, now can be fed. Now, because those animals can be fed, there are families that come and adopt those animals. Now, because they adopt those animals, we have happier families that have pets. And that's really what I, you know, when we talk about kindness for Christopher, yes, do one random act on the 24th, but live it, breathe it, because the ripples that you put out there, how does the world change? One random act of kindness at a time, because the ripples go on and on and on.
Right. When I was listening, you know, and learning more about this incredible movement, and I saw you were quoted about talking about the ripple effect, it certainly resonated with me because I realized, you know, if you touch one person, it also kind of carries on to people they know and so on and so forth. And also just the idea of sometimes people just need a little kick in the fanny. They want to do something and they say, wait a minute, that's a beautiful thing. I want to do that. And before you know it, it catches like wildfire. I wanted to go back, though. I know despite the heartache, you guys actually donated with the Sharing Network. And how many lives did you save through your son's tragic passing?
Eight.
Yeah. So despite the heartache, you were able immediately pretty much to help others that truly needed those organs. It's a really incredible thing you did. In terms of the Kindness for Christopher movement, I know you mentioned a page. If somebody listening today is touched and wants to get involved or just say, give you a shout out and say, you know, we're with you, we want to be kind and we want to, you know, try to help you as well in this very, very important mission of yours, how would they reach you guys?
You can go to facebook.com. Kindness for Christopher D is the page. We have just broken 17,000 followers and likes, and it keeps growing exponentially day by day. But when you come to the page, it's not the first thing that I always want to tell people, because everybody goes, oh, where can I donate? It is not a monetary movement. Never in the history of Kindness for Christopher have we asked for a single dime. All we want is for people to do one random act of kindness. We want you to be kind every day, but do one random act of kindness on the 24th of every month in honor of our late son, Christopher. Let Christopher be the reminder to be kinder. That's all this movement is. There have been people who have been gracious enough to donate money or have color runs or do stuff like that. All we've done with the money is taken it and turned it right back around into the community. We have not made one single solitary cent from this. We've either used it to teach at schools. We donated when the town had, when Roxbury had the color fun run for us, when it was time for Roxbury's to Recreation Department to put a brand new turf field, we dedicated a scoreboard. We took all the monies that were ever donated to us and turned right back around to the community. It is not a monetary movement. It doesn't have to be. And that's really the beauty of this thing. It's just about being good to another human being.
If I may, so I'm not familiar with the color fun run. Sounds like a great thing. I know that I was joking with you guys. I do try to work out a little bit. I'd be honored to join it and at least try to trot around or whatever goes on there. So what is that all about, the color fun?
Every year, the Roxbury Interact Club, Steve Alford, what a wonderful soul that he is, has a group of kids called the Interact Club at Roxbury High School. They do a color fun run, and each year the proceeds of that fun run go to someone in need. It has gone to a family who lost their father. It has gone to a family whose son was suffering from cancer. We were one of the recipients. I believe it went to somebody who lost their son to another son to cancer.
And the cool thing is with the Interact Club is the kids decide where the money's going that year. So it's not, the kids decide. So that was cool. They wanted to do something kind, and they chose us that year.
Well, when is that going to be held? Do you know?
We don't know the exact date of this year's color run. It's usually either the last week in May. Last year was the last week in May. It's usually either last week or May or first or second weeks in June. But every year, the people that were donated to, they go and they run and speak on behalf of the Interact Club. It's a beautiful thing. We'll probably post that to our page once we get closer to it, too.
All right, well, as I'm training for it, so as long as I'm allowed to get
you
out
six
there.
6 months, get going.
All right, there you go. So,
you can walk it as well.
Yeah, you can.
It's right. A fun run.
And it's a color run, so you're going to get...
Hell, I might need it. So let's just, if we could touch upon it. You know, we always, you know, when, think about kindness, but what kind of types of kindness are we talking about in terms of just what you've seen over these last 4+ years?
It could be something as simple as holding a door open for somebody. But what we've seen is, you know, I was just looking at a picture on my Facebook memories today of, there was a Dunkin' Donuts in Hackettstown, about 3 years ago that put one of our little cards in the window, taped it up. And what would happen is maybe somebody would buy the coffee of the person behind them. So when they pull up in the drive-thru, oh, wait, yes, kindness for Christopher. Well, what's kindness for Christopher? I mean, if you, we have the little business cards, which basically say, why did a stranger do something kind for me? And it's because of Christopher, which people will carry with themselves wherever they go. And like I said, it's either buying coffee for somebody online, holding the door open, or just simply telling somebody they look good that day. One of the things that Christopher used to say to somebody when they were having a bad day is, come on, smile. It looks good on you. Something that simple can change the whole complexity of somebody's day.
It's funny. I, not to interject, but I have three boys that we talked about, and they're 16, 12, and 10, and I talk to everybody. And my kids always cringe. They're like, they look at a group of people and they'll be like, oh my God, mommy's going to go talk to them. Like, they just can see a situation. And I try to explain to my kids, after I talk to people, do they normally seem happier after or not happier? And they're like, well, you know, fine, mom. Like, I'm like, you don't understand. You talk to strangers, you'd be surprised mm-hmm. how people want to communicate. And even just saying like a kind word, like, that hat looks really cute. I mean, I'm always genuine.
Yeah.
But I don't think we communicate enough with other humans, especially with, you know, putting our earbuds in and walking with our heads down and being on our phones now. And it is amazing that I am sure someone having a really cranky day, you know, woke up in a bad mood, I look fat today, you know, like little things can really just kind of jar you. And if you, just something so simple, like you said, can maybe just make that person go home and be a little kinder to their kids and yeah. a little nicer to the employees at work that day. Like, and my kids, I mean, I'm telling you, they are like, they expect it now. They know that, and I'm going to hold the door for people. I talk to everybody the way, you know, I talk to my waitress the same way I would talk to a CEO. Like, to me, we're all humans. We all just.
Yeah, my dad taught me when I was a little girl, he said, you always treat everyone the same. Whether they're the principal or the janitor, because you know what? We all put our pants on the same way.
Yeah. And I teach that to my kids absolutely. Every day.
In the world of the 24-hour news cycle, it's really about ratings. And unfortunately, evil sells. Because I guess since 9/11, we've been in the 24-hour news cycle with the scroll underneath about how horrible the world is. You can't help but get weighted down by it. There is plenty of kindness in the world. We just don't hear about it. It's not broadcasted, except for on this show, of course. And basically, it's not broadcasted. And the world is not as bad a place as the 24-hour news cycle will let us believe. There are good people out there doing a lot of good things. Yeah, we're a little grassroots movement out of New Jersey, but there are a lot of little movements like our movement out there that just promote to be kind. And if there were more of that, the more of the, like I said, the 24-hour news cycle stuff. If it did the 24-hour news cycle of kindness, what would that do?
You need to bring your movement to Washington, D.C. from both sides.
Tell me about it. No.
Not being political, well, I'm just saying.
Listen, right, we used to live in a world where we could disagree and be cool with that. I don't agree with you. You don't agree with me. Let's get lunch.
Right.
It's not like that anymore. You know, it's tough. I mean, you know, I was just saying before we went on air, it's easy to air your grievances with somebody. You would never say something to some person that you would say through a phone in your pajamas now. You know, oh, well, he's only 100 miles away from me. I could tell him how I really feel. I mean, we didn't have, and I don't want to call it a luxury. That's being a coward. You know, if you can't say something to somebody's face, but you could say it on a 6-inch screen in front of yours, that's being a coward. Because that's where the divide started happening with the world, and it needs to be brought back around full circle that, hey, let's, you know, love one another, you know. I mean, let's go all the way back to the 70s with that old kids movie, Bugs and Malone. You give a little love, and the love comes back to you, you know.
So, and if I may, that's really the major reason why I started this show not that long ago, because I do think the world focuses way too much on the negative and not all the beautiful, great people in the area and throughout our great country as well. In fact, when I learned about the Kindness for Christopher movement, and Chris, you just spoke about it, this really once again resonated, because there are a lot of great people, a lot of kind people, and unfortunately we get too caught up in the bad stories instead of the good, uplifting stories. And once again, that's why I felt so privileged to have you both here today. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, this whole just general concept of kindness. And I was once again doing some research about this, and there's this Kindness Rocks, and it was a local thing, and I was like, wow. Maybe one of you can talk about the Kindness Rocks.
That's actually funny. That's where I was going to go next. Again, you know, going back to what we were talking about with the ripple effect, going back to people being, it's a kind world out there if we just broadcasted it a little bit. The next segment I'm about to talk to you about had nothing to do with my wife and I. We were just facilitators of a page in memory of our late son. A year after we started the movement, in front of the fire department in Mount Arlington was a little rock that said, leave footprints of love and kindness wherever you go. And on the back, it said, hashtag kindness for Christopher Day. The chief of the fire department called us and said, hey, we have this rock here that we found. You should come see it. It's kind of cool. Who left it? I don't know. Okay. Came, looked at the rock. Well, that's really sweet. Do you name yourself the person? No. Okay. The next day, one was found in front of the police department. Okay, still nobody. The next day, one was found in front of Quick Check. And that's in our town, too. And then one was found in front of our local hot dog vendor, Andy's. And it started, and then one was found in Jefferson in front of a school there. And one was found in Newton. And one was found down the shore in, I think it was Seaside. And it kept going like this, and then one was found in Alabama, and one was found in Louisiana, and one was found in Virginia. Somebody painted seashells on the shores of Florida. One was found in Hawaii. One was found in Hungary. There was a soldier holding one in his hand in Kuwait, until one was finally found on the Great Wall of China.
And we had nothing to do with it.
We didn't place one rock. And this was something that just started with one little rock, splash, in front of a fire department in Mount Arlington. And the ripple effect, there's rocks now in Italy, Ireland, Spain, Portugal. Kindness for Christopher rocks, not just a kindness rock on the back. It says Kindness for Christopher Day. And they're all around the world. So the movement, which was about a little 10-year-old boy in a little town that you blink and you miss it in New Jersey, is now a global movement because one person put a rock in front of a fire department.
So we're going to take a short break and be right back with the D'Amicos. Thank you so much.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to LeonardCharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Welcome back. Once again, we're honored to have Chris and Laura D'Amico right here from Mount Arlington talking about the beautiful movement, Kindness for Christopher. We were just talking about the Kindness Rocks, which I'm blown away once again. I mean, it started so local, made us all the way to China. And as a family that, you know, was trying to heal and doing these wonderful things, how'd you guys feel to see just the way it's taken off and really it's gone worldwide?
It's very humbling. It's very humbling. You live your life wanting to know if you're going to make a difference or you're going to have a purpose or if you make a dent in the world. Well, two things have shown me this is when Christopher passed away, over 4,000 people came to the wake and funeral. You want to know if you're loved or not, but you don't want to find out the way we found out. But after that, this movement was another way that we were just humbled to know that there's good people and love out in this world. The Rocks was just one way that this movement has shown us that people are just amazing. There's the pajamas. Christopher wore pajama pants and a sweatshirt wherever he went. When we teach at schools, we tell people that we tell the kids that they're all superheroes, but the cape and mask are optional. We come to find that Christopher's pajama pants and sweatshirt were his superhero outfit. When kids are in the hospital that have extended stays, they just wear that little plastic gown in their underwear, and that's it. So we decided we were going to have a pajama drive so that the kids would at least wear pajamas when they're there or some suffering from cancer or illness. And we really started by wanting to raise 1,000 pairs. We didn't the first year. We raised 4,000, which, again, blew us away. And then we said we'd do it the second year, and we figured we'd get 4,000 again. We didn't. We got 8. And then our reach spread from just the hospitals, like Morristown and Hackensack, to battered women's shelters and orphanages in places like that. And when they had the floods in Houston and Puerto Rico, they made their way there too. So somebody is or was wearing a set of pajamas, again, from a little town in Mount Arlington, and this is all because of a 10-year-old boy who's no longer with us.
When I learned about this beautiful idea of, you know, collecting pajamas and donating, I immediately told my wife, I mean, you better get to it, you know, and I was so privileged to give you guys some pajamas this morning as a small token of just my tremendous admiration for what you guys have done and really honor your late son's beautiful memory. I mean, talk about parents really doing the right thing and carrying on and paying it forward. Chris, you mentioned about going to schools and speaking. How did that all start?
We don't remember.
We don't. We go back?
At all. We've been trying to figure out how we got involved, how it started. And we honestly don't remember how we got started. All we know now is we've got close to 24 schools under our belts. And
what age do you normally speak to?
We started doing kindergarten to sixth grade, but we found like the kindergartners to second graders kind of like don't have the attention spans to hold what we're talking about. So now we're doing really third all the way up to middle school. Eventually, we'd love to speak in high schools. The message changes as we talk to the older kids, but the general theme is still the same, which is be kind to one another, and you don't realize the power that you have.
You know, it's interesting because I have kids school age, and we're talking how the news cycle, we feel that it's kind of very negative. And there's this little part of me that wants to believe our younger generations are not falling into that. Like, they are going to be a generation. I know my son in high school, I said, you know, do kids get bullied? And he said, not really, Mom. Like, and I was like kind of surprised. He's in Morristown High School. It's a very mixed high school. A lot of different people from all, you know, places. And the other thing that I'm seeing, people are being nicer if you're gay, if you're straight. That seems to be,
that's
not like a conversation anymore.
No. It's more accepted
it's
now.
Accepted.
Right. So there's this part of me that with your movement and this new generation almost backlashing against where we kind of are going, you want to believe
you
as parents
hope.
Who are raising kids now. I know my producer Mike has children and, you know, Todd and you, that our kids are going to say, it's not acceptable being mean to people because they're different. You know, now kids are mainstreamed with disabilities. So kids with autism, you know, you would send them off to some, you know, back when we were young, kids were not right. They were sent away. Now these kids are in schools with AIDS in the classroom. Our kids, I hope, start to see that we're all in it together, you know.
What
we're not going to be separated. There's no...
No. What I say to my daughter, who's 16, she goes to Roxbury High School, Vianna, I say to her, you know, someone treats you bad, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their home is like.
It's a reflection on them.
Yeah, and you just be nice to them, because you could be the only one that day that's nice to them. You just don't know.
Look, even now, you go to the mall, you go to park your car, and somebody's honking at you. Somebody's mad. Somebody's this. Everybody is going through something or missing someone. The holidays, here's my 50 cent SAT word of the day, exacerbate the problem. And it just try to understand that. And, you know, in regards to the kids and what you were talking about, when we speak at the schools, we approach it from the fact that everybody's a superhero and you have a superpower, and that superpower is kindness. Now, of course, I'm greeted with a lot of eye rolls when I say that your superpower is kindness. But by the time I'm done with the assembly, I teach them how that power changed the world and how a little 10-year-old boy with that power of kindness changed the world. Using the ripple effect, if you explain it in simple terms, like there's a superhero and that's you, and that there's a villain and the villain is a bully. A bully has superpowers of their own, and they have two powers. They can make somebody else a bully, and they can take away your shine. And your shine is what makes you you. You know, I'll pick on Mike over here. If somebody said to him, you know, when he aspired to be an audio engineer, that he couldn't be an audio engineer, you're the worst audio engineer I've ever heard. You know, you hear that enough, maybe he's not an audio engineer. You know, when I was in the fourth grade, I'm as big as I am now. I'm six, you know, I'm a big kid, and I got picked on all the time. Add to the fact that I was a musician and could sing. The big kid who sings in the fourth grade. I listened to the bullies and the detractors, I wouldn't be a professional musician today. That's a bully's power, okay? And turn somebody into a bully. I could say, that's the worst-looking jacket you've ever seen, and the person behind me has a choice. They could say, yeah, it is, or, hey, that's not cool. But the moment that person says, yeah, that is, and the bully's won. I've now made you one of me. And that's how I explain it to the kids. What's going on now is the bullies are now becoming the minority. So in order for bullies to step up and speak up, they're going to be faced with a lot of kindness backlash, which is a good thing. That's the message that's getting pushed across now. Every school has jumped on this message.
Yeah. I have to say, you know, it's interesting we're talking about this because I have very, very young boys. And our school, I'm proud to say, my little three-year-old comes home pretty much every day, hopefully, with a little sticker about being kind and helping. And he goes right into our kitchen, and we have a nice little place, little bucket, little pail, and he puts it right in there. But I can see how happy and how the pride he takes in being nice to people. In fact, you know, I drive to work every day down Millbrook in Randolph, and the high school has a sign, "Be Kind." Two words, "Be Kind," exclamation point. And it's a great way. It's just a reminder, you know, for everyone, not just kids. It's for adults. It's for all of us to be nice to each other. And that's why, once again, when I heard about this movement, it touches all of us because we all should be kind and nice to each other.
It's still out there. You know, the problems that we talk about in terms of bullying and stuff, they're still out there, obviously. One of the things that comes to mind is we spoke at a school. And again, ripple effect. You never know what you're doing. You never know what you're putting out there into the world and how it's coming back. It's going to come back to you. Kindness. We spoke at a school, and a week later, we get a private message from a school counselor saying that there was a student who was suicidal, who after seeing our presentation decided that he wanted to stay here from his mom and dad because he saw what missing Christopher did to my wife and myself, and that he wanted to teach people to be kind. And that was from us going to visit the school.
You know, I always say to Chris, I said, you know, are we doing the right thing, or what's the right thing, or, you know, are we making an impact? And, you know, just that one time made it all worth it and right. And
you're putting people's paths for them to help you or you to help them. When we first started this movement, we went to Tennessee, and we were in a little restaurant, and we had a 20-year-old waitress waiting on us, and we were talking to them. We're just 4 months removed from Christopher not being here and 3 months into the Kindness for Christopher movement. So we were all gung-ho talking about our movement to this young lady, and she was done with her shift. We were the last customer, and she sat down with us for like another 20 minutes, and Laura says to me, "Were we here for her to help us?" I said, "No, I think we were here to help her." Didn't think nothing about it. Two nights later, we get a message on the kindness email, not from the girl, but from the girl's mother, who said, "You know, I want to thank the two of you for speaking to my daughter. She was having a really difficult time with this adulting thing. She was only 20. And you really inspired her, and I just wanted to say it was a very noble thing that you and your wife are doing." So you just never know how you're going to impact or affect somebody's day.
There's no, I mean, people, you know, they come in your life, you don't know why, and then you realize as time goes on, that was a blessing. For whatever reason, they came into your life. Or sometimes people leave your life, and that's also a blessing as well. But the way it is, you know, you touch one life in a positive way, and once again, Chris, this ripple effect, really, I think it's a great way to really talk about how you can impact people's lives. I also know that, you know, Governor Christie, when he learned through the legislative process that there was going to be obviously this discussion of making boating safety an important issue. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Not a lot of people knew the dangers of pontoon boats. If you fall off the front of a pontoon boat, the way a pontoon boat works is they have the two pontoons underneath the boat, and then the water flows through the two of them, but leads right back to the propeller. It is almost like a vacuum. So if somebody falls off the front of a boat, whatever falls off the front of the boat immediately gets sucked to the back of the boat by the energy of the propeller. That's how Christopher passed away. He fell off the front of the pontoon boat and was immediately sucked back and hit by the propeller. This is not taught, and if it is, it's not taught well. Bow riding, which I've unfortunately come to find is not an acceptable thing. You know, I live on a lake. I see people where they're sitting on the front of the pontoons, you know, not at speed, of course. You don't bow ride at speed, but like 5 miles an hour, dipping their toes in the water. That's where we were. We were in a no-wake, 5 mile an hour under zone. So I've seen it 1,000 times. The kids went on the front of the boat and dipped their feet in, and Chris fell off the front of the boat and was immediately sucked back to the propeller. It was instant, and there was no way that I could do anything to help him. But it needed to be known that this is something. I had no idea that it can happen. So it needed to be addressed.
And right, I mean, I know that's a very popular lake over there as well. But I understand, despite this heartache and adversity, you were instrumental in passing a law, right, to really make the waters safer for all of us.
Right. With Assemblyman and the late Senator Bucco, they partnered up with us. It was one of the fastest pieces of legislature. It was introduced October 27th and signed into law January 19th. That's when politicians get something done. And both Senator Assemblyman Bucco were very strong about getting it passed. And it was my honor to speak in front of the Senate and the Assembly to state my case of why it should be a law. And it was unanimously voted in by both the Senate and Assembly and immediately signed by Governor Christie. I'm very proud of that legislation.
And you should be, and obviously because of it, it's going to obviously have saved lives since, and I'm sure many more in the future. In terms of the impact on the community, I understand there's a Girl Scouts buddy bench right there in Mount Arlington.
I'll let you take this one.
Oh. Christopher's friends, he had a lot of friends, and a bunch of his friends that were in his grade, they were working on their silver award, and they chose by hand to make a buddy bench and to place it in the town park in honor of Christopher, and that's what they did as their silver award.
What a buddy bench is if you're on in the park, in a playground, at recess at school, if there's a buddy bench there, you sit in the buddy bench, which kind of means you're not included or have been left out. You're supposed to look over and include that person, or at least sit and keep them company. And it was also, again, inspired by Chris, because Chris had a friend who, again, this is who this my son was. He had a friend who was in remission from cancer. And because he was in remission from cancer, he couldn't play with all the kids because he was so weak. But he just used to sit there and sit and stare at all the other kids. And Christopher would stop playing with the other kids and just go sit next to his friend, which the teachers sent us a letter home saying it was one of the most selfless things we've ever seen a student do without being told to do it. He just would stop what he was doing, and he would get a lot of ragging and hazing from his friends going, "Come on, Chris, you know, we don't have enough kids to play." "Yeah, but I'm not going to leave Diego sitting here on the bench all by himself." And he would sit there and keep him company.
Became best friends.
That's who he was.
Amazing character. I mean, obviously, the world needs more kids like Christopher. And obviously, I was going through so many wonderful things that have happened since this heartache that you've gone through. But I understand there's toys that are donated to Kara's backpacks for kids fighting cancer. What was that about?
We have a friend whose cousin was going through cancer, and the mom was going through cancer as well. And in honor of the mom, she wanted to do these backpacks for children going through chemo. And in the backpacks was anything that the kid could want for the day, or everything from lotions to toys to notebooks and anything to keep the kid occupied while he was or she were in the hospital at the time for treatment. I mean, try anything to keep them busy or preoccupied where they're going through hell. And that's why we helped with the Kara's backpacks. which it's helped them.
No question.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. And also for the listeners, once again, if they want to reach out to you or learn more about the Kindness for Christopher movement, how do they reach you?
You can find our page on Facebook.com at Kindness for Christopher D. You can private message us through the page, or you can email us at kindnessforchristopher@gmail.com.
Now, in terms of spreading this incredible movement, I understand also you've made some TV appearances and obviously to do your best to let the folks know out there about this incredible movement. Do you recall some of the appearances you've made?
We were fortunate to have a friend who worked for Fox News. One of the last segments, and that's, I think, what really got the ball rolling on this. This was about 2-3 months in, too. We had a segment on Fox News, and it got over 500,000 viewers to see what the movement was. Now, it was only a minute and a half segment, but it discussed about what the movement was about and what we wanted to accomplish, and people are still looking at that little segment that we did.
I have a question for you. Did you have your daughter that you mentioned to me before you came in, and I know you have another son. How does all of this, like, affect them? Like, what growing up with this now around them, what have you seen come of them with this?
I honestly feel that it helped our daughter. Because it shows her, it shows her that everything's going to be okay. You know, even though we have tragedy and loss and something so horrible happened, that it just shows that mom and dad are pushing through and going forward. And it shows that we're doing kind things for people. And it makes her want to be kind because they're seeing us be kind. And, you know, our little guy, he's only 3, but, you know, we're going to show him the way too.
He's growing up in it.
Yeah.
He wasn't thrust in it like our daughter was. You know, she didn't only lose her brother, she lost her best friend that day. This is a way for her to still embrace him as well. So
obviously, I mean, it's important that Ellen brought that up. I mean, your family, you guys have pulled together, and I'm assuming it just made you even that much tighter, because I can see you're very, very nice, beautiful people and very giving people, but it seems to me... I'm assuming this has really helped you heal by launching this Kindness for Christopher movement, because it shows your love for your late son, but also for carrying on and continuing that legacy, but also for your family and your loved ones and friends and others, just what it's all about in life.
You know, we're a statistic, because people say that once you lose a child that, you know, I don't even know what this statistic is, but they say that families break up and they move apart and divorce and everything. But I do feel we are closer, and we do a lot to you know, it's not forced. It's just, it's organic, and we love each other, and we do things to help each other, pick each other up when one's down. And, you know, it's always the way it's been.
We can have a whole show about grief.
Yeah.
You know, 4.5 years later, you know, all we've succeeded in doing was shedding a layer of grief, only to find another layer of grief. The movement is part of our healing, but it's only part. I don't ever, you know, people say to me, when I say, you know, when they tell my story, they say, oh, I couldn't imagine. I said, don't. Not even in your darkest nightmare, don't. We are, I believe, an anomaly. You know, we are different than the norm. In the fact that we just picked right up and brushed ourselves off and adjusted our crown and started moving forward again. There are people, you know, I've heard stories of people who just are still in bed. They can't get out. I don't know why. I don't question what gave us the strength. I don't question. I'm just happy that we're all fun. Listen, my daughter is a shining example. I give her credit just for getting up and going to school right after. You know, it was a long summer for her because he died the very first day after the last day of school. And then she had to walk into seventh grade in Tiny Town. There's only 40 kids in her class. And stare at the faces of people who are now, she's the girl whose brother died that summer. You know, a lot of these kids couldn't comprehend this stuff. And that's part of the reason why we started the movement, is because a lot of these kids just couldn't comprehend their best friend wasn't there anymore. You know, so it was part healing. It was part helping. It was, you know, part doing the right thing for your kid, you know, trying to pick up my daughter and get her moving forward.
And we know we're making a difference because we don't see these kids anymore because, you know, they're all growing up. They're moving on to different schools. But we'll get an email or we'll get a message saying, oh, by the way, I did this in honor of Christopher. And you know what? It just makes us smile because it's like, yeah, he made a difference. We're still making a difference. There's kids now. We do twice a year. The Red Cross contact. We didn't contact them. They contacted us. They wanted to do a blood drive. And since we've done blood drives, they've been the most successful drives in honor of Christopher, saving hundreds of people. I mean, that's cool. That's really cool. And these kids, they want to know if they're old enough to donate now. And, you know, they're right on board with us. And we don't see them all the time, but they're doing it. And that's important.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was very touched you guys were going to come on was you're also helping families that are going through grief.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know in life you lose a loved one. Obviously, you know, anything can happen at any given moment. But I also think you're a shining example of how people can pull together. And hopefully maybe some of our listeners today have lost a loved one. And you can see you can still go on and you're still going to have a life. It's never going to be the same. But you're also going to honor the memory from keep on going. Pick yourself up and try to be an example of how to live.
When Christopher passed away, you know, people tell you or they make suggestions of where to go and what to do and what you're supposed to be doing for counseling and grief counseling and all this stuff. And we went to a grief counselor because it was the thing to do. And we walked in and they handed our daughter a leaf and they said, decorate this in honor of your brother and everything. And we're sitting there going over the program. And when she was done coloring the leaf, they said, okay, put it on the wall. And I looked up and there were hundreds of leaves on the wall. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about dead people. I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate Christopher being here for 10 years because, you know what, that was his journey. We don't know when our journey ends, but that was his journey.
There's no playbook.
No.
Like I said, and everybody grieves differently. And everybody, some people it is group. You know, you have to sit with a group of people. And for us, it's been this. You know, that next to working with the kids in schools, this is another subject that I try to teach people with. And anybody's welcome to contact us if they're going through the same. Yes, I am not a registered, counselor. I don't have a medical degree in grief, but I do have a firsthand experience that most people don't. We have our good days. We have our bad days. But, you know, it's things like this movement and what we've done and who we've helped and that ripple effect that keep us going.
Well, I just want to once again thank you guys so much. You know, your shirts really barely scratch the surface about being one of a kind. You guys are definitely one of a kind. I say God bless you. Obviously, you're celebrating your son's life, Christopher. He's touching so many people to this very moment and going forward. Once again, this has been a really true honor to have you both on. I do really believe we're in this together. We all have to help each other up, lend a hand up. Let's touch the world together. We all should make this place a better place to live for all of us. I also want to say I recently started the Leonard Foundation, help kids and families battling pediatric cancer, helping those in need. If you want to lend a hand up, please visit leonardcharity.org. I also want to say God bless the D'Amico family and everyone, and have a great rest of the weekend. Thank you, and looking forward to having you join us next week. God bless.